Yes, this is the December 16th, 2018 KPFK Local Station Board meeting. Jamie Gomez, Chair presiding, and our Secretary, Honorable Secretary Michael Adler assisting, and Mr. Adler will take roll. Thank you.
Jonathan Alexander, excused absence.
Request.
Requested. Shingy Bird? Yes. Present. Sandy Childs, requested excused absence. Roberta Eidman, requested excused absence. Stephen Franz, absent. Jamie Gomez?
Here.
Jamie Gomez, present. Jan Goodman, requested excused absence. Stephen Kaiser?
Here.
Stephen Kaiser, present. Maggie LaPeak, requested excused absence. Ali Lexa?
Present.
Ali Lexa, present. Rob Macon?
Here.
Rob Macon, present. Barbara Marbach?
Present.
Barbara Marbach, present. Ishmael Para?
Yes, here.
Ishmael Para, present. Rezapur?
Here.
Rezapur, present. Steve Pride, Dorothy Reich, and Myla Reason, all requested excused absence. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes, present. Mansoor Sabah, requested excused absence. Polina Vasiliev?
Here.
Polina Vasiliev, present. Fernando Velasquez?
Present.
Fernando Velasquez, present. Lisa Wong? Lisa Wong, absent. Chairman, I show 13 present, excused absences, 9.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the proposed agenda?
So moved.
Okay. Any objections to approving the agenda as proposed? Hearing no objections, our agenda is approved.
I would like to make an amendment.
Hold on. Okay.
I would like to change the time certain from 2 p.m. to 1 p.m.
We haven't set time certain yet.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Because it says 2 p.m. on the agenda here.
You must be looking at the minutes.
Yeah, oh, the minutes. I'm sorry. Never mind.
Okay.
Can you delete that from our agenda?
Okay. So deleted.
Too late.
Okay. Agenda is approved. Approval of excused absence request. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the excused absence requests? So moved. Okay. Any objections? Hearing no objections, excused absences requests are approved. Motion to approve minutes from last month's meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any objections to approving the minutes from last month's meeting? Hearing none, minutes for November have been approved. Set time certain to adjourn. I have 11 o'clock, about 11 o'clock right now. There's roughly an hour and a half on, a little bit more than an hour and a half. So we could have 12:30.
1 o'clock.
Okay, I have a motion to set time certain for
12:45.
Any objections? Okay, time certain has been set for 12:45.
Oh, earlier.
And at this point, we have public comments. If Ms. Alan Beek would like to make any comments. No?
Oh,
yeah, I have a point of information.
Yes.
What's the password for you?
Huh?
The password for the Wi-Fi.
Oh,
I was getting ready to say Scotty Waddy Doo Doo Day. I don't know.
It's something like the address of this building, just the numbers,
okay,
and
this
piece
isn't
either after it or before it.
Okay. Oh, public comment.
Let me see if I can find it.
So that's 15 minutes off of the...
See.
Mm-hmm. It's piece 3916, all lowercase.
Piece 3916.
I probably shouldn't say that on the minutes, but
piece 3916. Anyone in the location of the Peace Center in Culver City, you got free Wi-Fi. Okay. So we're going to reports, and we have one director here. And we also had a written report from Grace Aaron. I don't know if you want to summarize your written report, or you can give any report you'd like.
Let me get it and take a look at it. Here we go. All right, so I'll just basically read it, or part of it. And first of all, this is just my own opinion and views. I'm not speaking for the National Board or for any other director or anyone else. So this year, the National Board averted bankruptcy and took out loans to settle the debt. And we negotiated a very favorable settlement with our main creditor, the Empire State Realty Trust. We completed the 2016 audit. We hired an independent nonprofit accounting firm. It's actually larger than just an accounting firm. They provide management to, I think I just read on their website, over 100 public TV and radio stations. And that is to fill in the gaps of our financial infrastructure across the network, because we've been seriously deficient in financial reporting. It's really a big problem. We've also updated the Pacifica Employee Handbook, and the Pacifica Board hasn't approved that yet, but it should be approving it soon. We hired a professional executive director, Maxie Jackson III. We hired a pension plan administrator, as well as a legal firm to sort out our pension plans. And we hired just recently a very experienced interim chief financial officer.
Why interim?
Because we needed somebody immediately. Oh, I shouldn't be responding. NETA, which is the firm we hired to oversee and correct and do any accounting needed where we have deficiencies, is also providing the network with Pacifica with human resources as well as information technology backup. NETA has the capacity to fix our deficiencies so that our financial reporting and audits will be accurate and on time. And the elections, the mailing for the ballots should be done on January 7th. I believe that they'll probably mail out paper ballots to members who we don't have email addresses for, and then probably a day or two later, whatever the gap is, send out email ballots, because so that the people who receive email ballots don't have an advantage over the people who get ballots mailed to them. Information about the election is at elections.pacifica.org, and the timeline is on there, and of course all the candidate information should be up there, I hope. Our local election supervisor did send us emails. I mean, half of us or so need to run for re-election. So our local election supervisor is going to be at the station tomorrow and Tuesday. She lives in Berkeley. So you need to contact her to set up a time to record your cart. I just recorded one this early. I woke up really early, so I recorded it on my iPhone, and hopefully she'll accept that. I wrote it and recorded that. So anyway, so that's about all. I'll take questions.
All those recordings will be Monday and Tuesday. Only these next 2 days is when you can go into the station and record. And it ends at 6 o'clock on Tuesday.
You should wait to be recognized, though.
Sorry.
We're taking people for the stack. I have Lawrence and Paulina and Fernando and Steve Kaiser. Anyone else? No? Okay, Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for your written report. I did read it. And I think other directors should do the same and give their own perspective about, you know, what they're doing. But I have a couple of questions. The first question is, I was trying to stream in to the PNB meeting, especially the strategy committee or something like that. And from what I understand, it was held in executive session to develop the employee handbook. And I don't understand why something like that would be held in an executive session. So if you could edify me on that. Then the second question, and I believe it's the final one, in regards to the loan, I know you said last month that if we default on the loan, and I believe we have defaulted already, right? So you could answer that question, that we could refinance the loan. And I'm wondering why there hasn't been a repayment plan developed in regards to how we're going to pay back that loan. So can you answer those?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I don't know anything. I assume you're talking about the personnel committee. I don't know anything about why a meeting was held in closed session that maybe should have been held in open session. If you want to email Jan Goodman about that, because she's the chair of the National Personnel Committee. If it's the Strategic Planning Committee, I'm not on that committee either. So you would have to, I think Alex Steinberg is the chair of the Strategic Planning Committee, but Jan might also know about that because she is the vice chair. I think she sometimes goes to those meetings. She's the vice chair of the National Board. In terms of the loan, no, we have not defaulted on it. As a lawyer explained to us, only a judge can say you've defaulted on a loan. That's the only way. You might be out of compliance with some of the covenants of the loan, but until we're taken to court and a foreclosure procedure is started, which is a lengthy process, and a judge adjudicates that we have defaulted on the loan, we're not in default. That's a misuse of that term. So now, in terms of the repayment plan, yes, I'm not on the Strategic Planning Committee. I wish I were. I'll try to be on it next year. I actually put forward a strategic plan for Pacifica, and I sent it to the Strategic Planning Committee. I haven't received anything back about it. It's very simple. We need to get our financial house in order, and if we do so, we can. I am appalled at the fact that we don't have any financial reports that are up to date. I am shocked and appalled by that fact, and the fact that our 2017 audit is delayed. I didn't know how bad the situation was until about 3 weeks ago when, in an open meeting of the audit committee, we had, and Paulina is on that committee, so correct, she knows. We had two meetings where we had a CPA from NETA and a representative from our audit firm, Rogers & Company, on the calls, and a staff member from our finance staff in the national office. And our executive director was on one of the calls. So here's the situation. So far, the auditor, and I maybe there's a little bit more information, but as of the first meeting, which was about 3 weeks ago, they had only received 20% of responses to all of their requests for information. They can't even start the 2017 audit until they get about 90% response to the questions that they've asked. The broken part is at the station level. All five stations are implicated and the national office in not getting information, more or less. I think there's less lack of response from the archives and from KPFT. And there are more problems with WBAI, WPFW, and actually KPFK in the national office. There are requests for information that have just not been supplied to either our firm that's helping us with the accounting or to the auditors. This is a really ridiculous situation as far as I'm concerned. So the National Board took some action in asking that NIDA, we're going to have a new agreement with NETA so that they can take over some of the basic and have the authority to fix the problems at the station level, because we're not getting adequate compliance from staff at the stations, and it's jeopardizing our nonprofit status. So in terms of a strategic plan, the first thing is to put our financial house in order, but at the same time improve our programming, because our listenership across the boards is simply too low. We are dependent, 90% of our income comes from on-air fundraising, and as our listenership declines, our per-day fund drive totals decline, and this is true across the network. So we have to improve our programming. We have to get our financial house in order. If we can get our 2017 audit done and get all our financial reporting up to date and continued to be generated on a you know, on a weekly and monthly level, so that we have on-time financial reporting, first of all, our credit rating will improve, and we can, if we, our credit rating improves and we get all of those things, we're in compliance with all of those things, we can get our Corporation for Public Broadcast funding back. And we're losing about $800,000 to $1 million a year because of this deficiency in our financial reporting. So that's a real emergency, and it's to me, it's unacceptable that the stations are not complying with requests for information.
Thank you, Greg.
Just a last part of the question. If we can get our financial house in order, we can then, and our credit rating improves, we can refinance the loan at a lower interest rate. However, whether we do or not, the loan can always be refinanced because it's not based on our business model. It's based on our buildings. So as long as we own that real estate and it still is valuable, we'll be able to take loans out. So we will be able to refinance. We don't have to pay off the $3 million at the end of the loan. We can refinance. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Paulina?
So my first question is on the same topic about the loan, and it has two parts. So FJC, if one examines their audits for the past 10 years, they, in prior cases, they are known not to have to wait for a judge to declare a loan to be in default. They have been known to sell on the loan when it is merely potentially impaired. And their accounting policy describes that their auditor's report as well. So whenever it suits them, they could possibly declare Pacifica's principal to be unlikely to be paid on time and pass it on. Do you have a strategy? Who is in charge of ensuring that this doesn't happen, or can we even ensure that it doesn't happen, given the fact that our audits situation is dismally, in fact, behind. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. And also, as far as the audit committee goes, does the Pacifica National Board have an update as far as whether we have been able to secure the necessary waivers for us to be able to have access to information about the loan agreement as it pertains to the audit? And that's, yeah, I think I also have a question about the, maybe in parts, the elections. I wanted to know about the election cards, whether the, how much time do we have if we are doing our, if people are doing their cards bilingually, and why aren't announcements being aired, if you can even speak to that, announcements about the elections coming up. Yeah. To be in compliance with the bylaws. Thank you.
Okay, so do you want me to respond? Okay, so the first thing is any loan, a mortgage loan, any type of loan, can be sold, as far as I know. This is how loans work. However, the terms of the loan do not change if it's sold. So if FJC chooses to sell the loan, our obligations and the interest rate and all of that will be exactly the same. Now, I have not heard that they have any desire or intention to sell the loan, but that when you take out a loan, that's one of the possibilities, as far as I know. I'm not an expert in this. So, as I say, we should, as board members on the National Board, from the Audit Committee, we're putting enormous pressure on the management of Pacifica to get our financial house in order, because it should be in order anyway. Forgetting about the loan, why are we letting ourselves lose $800 to $1 million a year in CPB funding and other grant funding? Nobody's going to give us money with our bad credit rating and our lack of financial reporting. So that needs to be a top priority. And that needs to be communicated by everybody to the managers of our stations, and that they need to cooperate with the auditor, and they need to cooperate. And the NETA representative, the CPA, told us that they are not getting responses to their emails and phone calls to get this information at a number of stations. So this is unacceptable. And on the national board level, we're just going to put more and more pressure to get this information so we can get our 2017 audit done as a first thing, and other financial reporting. Mm-hmm. So I agree wholeheartedly. As far as the election goes, I really have very little information about it. You need to contact the local election supervisor and the national election supervisor to answer those questions.
Renee. Thank you. Fernando?
Yes, I do have two questions. It smells of lack of transparency and accountability at the management level. My understanding is the executive director is the immediate supervisor of the general managers. And general managers are in charge of delivering the responses, the information, financial information required, and they're not complying. Why is this supervisor, in this case the executive director, not demanding an answer immediately? And why is the general manager not responding to the needs? It really calls for a question, an examination of how we relate to each other in terms of the power structure and accountability at Pacifica. Question number two. My understanding is that we need on average about $3 million per year to finance our expenses at the station. Without the CPB money, it's definitely a bigger hardship. On top of that, we need pensions money to be, pensions payments be updated, and that doesn't appear to be a plan to do so in the foreseeable future. And then the payments of the $3.2 million. How does Pacifica National Board plan to solve these three questions?
I'm as frustrated as you are. We're not getting financial information at the local finance committee level or on the national level. There are no balance sheets, no income statements, no audit. That 2017 audit isn't complete, so we're not getting an audit done. So it's really our financial infrastructure is broken. Just to give you an example, 6 months ago, when we had a CFO, an internal CFO, there was a CFO in the national office as a CPA and three other full-time employees. Now we have only one full-time employee in the national office. One. Okay? So, and even at that time, 6 months ago, when there were four employees, including a CPA, a senior accountant, a junior level accountant, and another accountant in there, four people, we were still terribly backlogged and behind. We have no business manager at WBAI, no business manager at WPFW at all. They're not doing any bookkeeping. This is unacceptable. Our whole financial infrastructure needs to be completely rebuilt. So that's why we hired NETA. In terms of because everything is so broken, as we found out in the audit committee and the national board went, wow, this is ridiculous. We thought things were on schedule because we had the 2016 audit done. We thought there was progress being made on the 2017. So it was a shock. So the audit committee wrote a very strong recommendation that was passed by the national board to have NETA take over whatever deficiencies exist on the station and national level so that we can get our accounting done. But that's just been resolved recently. So, new agreement, and we reported out from a closed session of the national board that a new agreement is being made with NETA. In terms of the executive director, the executive director is completely new, and he's not an accountant. He's totally new. He's only been there like maybe 6 weeks on the job. So it's a really difficult situation. I completely agree with you, but this is a situation that's taken literally 10 years of attrition and looking the other way when bookkeeping was done very poorly for literally years. The pension thing is being sorted out. It's really difficult to sort out. But just to tell you, we have two pension plans. We should only have one. It's too complicated to have two. That we have a retirement plan and we have a 403B plan. I'm on a committee that oversees this. It's very complicated. I find it complicated. So the 401A plan is a retirement plan where we put money into an account for employees. That's basically stopped, but it has to be maintained for people who have funds in there from the past because it's voluntary on the part of Pacifica. Now, in that pension fund, we're not really, I don't know if we're in arrears. We're not significantly in arrears in that fund. There is a bank account that's being managed. It's a fund. There is about $900,000 in that fund. So it's adequately funded. We're not in default at all regarding that. Now, the other is a 403B fund, which is like an IRA that you get at work, where the employee puts in a certain amount voluntarily out of his paycheck or her paycheck every pay period, and the station or the other unit or whatever, the national office, puts in a match of, I think it's 2% or 3%, depending on the station. There's a mix-up with it because it has to conform to the union agreements. So, And there were some defaults on our paying into the fund, mainly KPFA and KPFK. It's just basically that the bookkeeping wasn't being done. The standard thing of putting aside the money wasn't done. The reason the problem is mainly KPFK and KPFA is because we have the largest staff. So KPFK has put aside half of the money that we owe toward the 403B plan. And as soon as it all gets sorted out exactly, we have estimates. But we don't have the exact amount that KPFK owes. It's around a total of about $90,000. We've set aside half of it, and the other half will also be setting aside. That's going to happen in a few months. KPFA is being sorted out, and and it'll all be straightened out soon. It's just, it's crazy stuff. Like, we have to find out who was in the plan and how many years they were in the plan, all their contact information, and these are employees who've been gone. So I got a list of KPFK employees. Maybe you can help me with them. Like, what years did they work? I mean, this is like going back to historical pieces of information, and it's very time-consuming to do that. That's what happens when you don't keep your bookkeeping up to date. You don't know. You don't know who you owe money to, who you don't owe money to, and then you might owe somebody $150, and it costs you $5,000 in labor to try to dig up the information. So it's very inefficient. So
okay.
That's
okay.
The situation with the pension plan. Sorry I'm taking so long to
you have to answer.
To answer.
Now. Thank you, Bella.
So,
thank
you. So
thank
you, that's it.
You're
welcome. Thank you, Steve Kaiser, you're up next.
Yeah. Grace, the 2017 audit would have been due last June. Is that right? You know, in my thinking here, it's like nine months after the end of the fiscal year.
It's still,
and that would have been in October of 17 that it ended. Then 9 months later, it should have been due in June.
Yes.
So we're about 6 months behind at the moment.
Yes.
Okay, and we have a leeway of about 3 years. Is that before we're actually suspended by California, if I recall that correctly?
I don't think so. I think we're in jeopardy of our nonprofit status now.
Well, I don't think we're in jeopardy of the nonprofit. That's an IRS function, but we could be suspended as a corporation by the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally 3 years in arrears. Now, the 2016 audit, we're really worried about that. And we were just, I think, a couple of months, or maybe that was 2015. That we were just within a couple of months of it. I know you may not remember right now.
No, I don't totally remember that.
Okay.
To tell you the truth.
Okay. What I'm interested in is what information are we actually missing to actually do it? Because we got the 16 put together. You know, it was really tough. Everybody knuckled down everywhere, and we got it done. Do you have any idea what information we're missing? Is it similar to the information we're missing in 16? No idea on that.
Can you ask that question? I mean, it's rhetoric.
Excuse me.
I'd like to answer this by telling you how NETA plans to remedy this. Okay.
Great.
Because then I can explain what the deficiency is. NETA has ordered special scanners that are going to be delivered to each station and unit. These scanners, somebody at the station, it can be just a clerk. It doesn't have to be a bookkeeper or an accountant. A clerk will scan in all invoices and receipts, all checks that are going to be deposited, and link them to the specific expense that goes into the general ledger. Okay? And then the accounting will be done by NETA remotely. Now, one of the reasons that we contracted with NETA is because our signal areas are in locales where it's really hard to find good accounting staff and it's extremely expensive. So I looked it up, for instance. In Berkeley, the cost for a senior accountant is 44% higher than the national average. NETA is located in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, where the standard of living is lower and the wage scale for competent employees is also lower. So that's what's going to happen. I thought that all the back accounting had to be done, and they said, no, that's not the case. They will use the 2017 audited numbers once the 2017 audit is done. They'll use those audited numbers and then move on from that point forward in time. So once this is installed, and they will do the training of that person at the local station level, and then the business managers who are competent, who are doing their work properly at the three stations that do have business managers will continue, but NETA will provide oversight. Because to be perfectly honest, our general managers are not accountants.
No,
they don't have any clue as to whether the business managers are doing a mediocre job or an excellent job. So we need some supervision to evaluate their performance and say, well, this is right, this is wrong, whatever. So that's the plan. Now, what was the
I think you really addressed it. You mentioned Rogers and Company. Is they another accounting firm?
No, they are the audit firm.
Okay, and NETA is not the audit firm.
No. We contracted with NETA,
right,
which is a national management organization.
Oh, okay.
It's a nonprofit, and it deals with public TV and radio stations, and it provides all kinds of management. So they are going to be providing to us HR support. That means human resources support, which we really need, including making job descriptions for all employees and setting up an evaluation system so that paid employees are evaluated on a routine basis. And they will provide us with IT support because we also need to have the same software, especially accounting software, and membership management software across the network in the cloud so that the accounting can be done more efficiently. And okay, this is the question that you asked. So what happens is the auditor does a spot check. So they want to say, okay, you made this $12,565 expenditure on June 4th, 1917, let's say. That would be something. And I say, we want to see the invoice and the receipt, okay? So we have the expense numbers, but we don't have the receipts. So the receipts are, now this is complete, so what's happening is that receipt is in some desk drawer someplace.
Yeah. And they are.
It's locked away in a general manager's, or they're out of order, they're not in date order, or they're in the trash can, wherever they are. So that receipt has to be found to satisy the auditor.
Now with the scanners.
Now
we'll
with
have
the
that
scanners,
incident.
All of this stuff. So what's happening now is, and some of these stations are very understaffed. So you know, either the general manager has to either decide to not have a fund drive and work on finding these receipts for 40 hours, or have a fund drive. So it's kind of a catch-22. So we have to get over this heap, this hill, and get this audit done, and then start with this new system, because this new system will fix it, hopefully.
Does NETA, is that an acronym, standing for National Education?
Yes. National, I had it up here.
National Education Telecommunications Association.
And is that what Tom Livingston brought in? Was that his suggestion?
Well, he suggested them.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
We're going off.
And then are we still going to go with business managers at all these locations based on NETA's recommendations? I mean, that's part of it, right? We discussed
that has to be sorted out.
Right.
I mean, at the smaller stations, or you know, this the system of doing the scanning and all of that will probably make it not necessary to have business managers at least two stations.
True.
Okay.
There are other functions that maybe a business manager needs to do, but in terms of the accounting and the audit prep. Mm-hmm. That's another story.
Now, the staff at WBI and WPFW is very low, right? And that's why it's never been an option, actually, to dismiss the management at either New York or in Washington. Because if they're not able to do this, it would seem that we'd want to replace that top management. But there's only like five or six people at each station. So we have such low personnel, we really can't afford to change the top management there.
Okay, well, the thing is this. The bookkeeping and all of the accounting and including the budgets can be done remotely. There's no reason. There are some things that possibly a business manager is needed for. I'd have to see exactly what those functions are. But the main functions are the main functions can be done remotely if the scanning is done and all financial transactions are scanned into the system and the books are kept remotely.
One last point. Do we have a new CFO? Is that person?
We have a new interim CFO.
Okay, likely to continue, or is it a trial period, or it's hard to say?
I think this is really an interim hire.
I'm done. Sorry, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask a lot of questions about the NETA, but I think it got distilled. Thank you for the updates. But I want to know, is that seems like the core of it now is the scanning of the invoices and receipts. Do you know specifically at KPFK, has someone been assigned that position to do that? And does our general manager understand how important it is? Is it being looked at with some weight and seriousness? Do you have any of that information?
This is very new. It's going to be up to our executive director in conjunction with the new interim CFO. We only hired the interim CFO like a week ago. So not less than a week. That will have to happen, yes.
Do you think it would be an issue that a rep from NETA might physically come down in person to make that happen if the stations don't hire or arrange for those receipts and invoices to be scanned?
You said yes. They need to be trained.
Actually, that is the case at WPFW and WBAI. Site visits are going to be made, and somebody at those, a person assigned to each of those two stations is going to be doing the actual work of scanning, doing the scanning. And also they have to notate there's a scan of the invoice and the receipt. It has to be linked to the general ledger notation of that expenditure. And the same thing with deposits. It's going to be worked out what's going to happen at the other three stations. The other three stations do have business managers, but there are some deficiencies, so those all have to be worked out.
Thank you.
I'll answer the staff for a follow-up.
Okay, one moment. One more person on the stack. That's me. So I think most of my questions have been answered. Let me start out with the financial question. It's the amount owed for the pensions by KPFK. You stated that we have on deposit approximately half of what we had owed, and that there is approximately $90,000 owed. Previously, our previous interim general manager, Christine Blasdale, had indicated in a report to this body that we had the entire amount deposited of $100,000. So I just wanted to ask about that discrepancy in what was reported by Ms. Blasdale and what was reported by you. And my other question is a quick question regarding the election. So the KPFK members that will receive email ballots will not receive paper ballots is what the question is. I just need a confirmation on that.
Okay. I don't recall what Christine said. There was always the intention to set aside $100,000 for the pension arrears. Aniel, actually, I'm going to punt that over to the treasurer's report, unless you want to.
Okay.
You want me to answer it?
I can wait for the treasurer's report. That's up next.
No, he's not shaking his head. So I'll answer it as best as I can. I'll answer it as best as I can. We received a $350,000 or so bequest from Don Bustani, who was a longtime programmer. I believe $150,000 of that was put into the general operating monies, and of that, $42,000 was put in a special account, or about $42,000 set aside for the pension arrears, and the rest of the pension arrears will either come out of our general revenue or out of that set aside of approximately half of that bequest. So we have the money to pay in full our pension arrears. That's not a problem. That will be done soon. It's the amount, the exact amount has to be worked out, as I told you, that historical information, because you don't want somebody suing you because you didn't give them $1,500 in pension money that they're owed because you haven't done the bookkeeping properly. So and we have an auditor who's auditing the pension plans. It's kind of a nightmare, to tell you the truth. And the nightmare is not in the willingness of the stations to pay the money. It's that we can't find the paperwork for these people who no longer work for us. When did they work? Were they in the pension plan? What's their contact information? How much should we have put into the plan for them? It's that kind of information, historical information that we need. And I have a list of six people. There are just six people outstanding that we need information from at KPFK. And I will ask you, who have historical knowledge about staff, about those six people.
I do. Okay.
Jamie asked you about the ballots also.
The ballots, I believe that that's what's going to happen. But if you really want answers to those election questions, it's the LES and the NES. I don't have real...
Renee by email.
Thank you. Paulina, you had a quick comment?
I had a quick follow-up, but I think my mind was also on the elections. So it seems, Grace, that what we have in the... As we have NETA serve the function of a offsite office, right? So whatever we are missing in terms of personnel on site at the five stations, they are trying to support from offsite with these functions. What's the supervision process like? Who do they report to? How much are they costing us, if it's possible to know? I'm just curious what the reporting process is and the decision process, how those decisions are being made in terms of resource allocation, site visits, and supervision, because they've, as far as I understand, we're on the same committee. There were problems with communications, but they're being solved. So I'm just curious if you can comment, explain to everybody how that works. Can we know the name of the interim CFO?
Oh, yeah, that's public. His name is Larry Dankner.
Larry what?
Dankner. He was suggested by NETA. NETA was going to supply us with a CFO as part of their deal with us. They do it for a lot of other TV and radio stations. However, our bylaws have an esoteric statement in them that the CFO has to be an employee of Pacifica. So we worked out a deal so that he is employed by Pacifica directly.
Is that Dankner?
Yes, Dankner.
And he's interim for a period of time, at the moment, a few months?
It's a little bit open-ended, but okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are we at time for this?
I hope. That's about all.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're ready for the treasurer's report.
Okay. Let me just pull this up.
Thank you, Grace.
Yeah. Okay. We had a meeting Wednesday. And there's two parts, let's say the local and the national. In terms of the local, the business manager was able to deliver a list of payables and a closing out of the fiscal year of 2018, the income statement, basically. But we still didn't get a balance sheet or a P&L or what's called age trial balance. You know, how much do we owe for how long? However, on the details of that, we only have one major outstanding debt. Everything else has been paid off or is current, and that includes paying off our premiums. We do not have a debt of premiums like we had in the past. We've come current on all of that. The only thing left is $150,000 debt, approximately, to Central Services, which is about 2 or 3 years old. So that's the only outstanding accounts payable. Major accounts payable. Everything else is managed and moving along. The fund drive, as Grace pointed out, this last fund drive is underperforming. And about 50,000 or more.
100,000.
There we go. And that's about it. Oh, we also went over film club, where we're looking into improving the interface for the film club to increase the membership. It's a major consideration, though, is whether or not it's viable. In other words, you know, you have a good idea, like let's open up a lemonade stand, but then it costs you more to run it than you make on it. And it depends whether we can do the film drive with paid employees or the film club with paid employees or volunteers, and how much does it cost to deliver the service. So we're looking into that. And also, we passed a little resolution to encourage local management to take responsibility for putting programming on that's going to increase our listenership. Now, this is a policy that's been passed by the national board, that the program director and the general managers are responsible for increasing listenership, and that programmers will be evaluated in part on the degree to which they get listenership. But we have to do that. And the key thing on finances is that all of the staff and all of the board takes responsibility for increasing listenership and increasing income, not complaining about it or pointing to other people, but trying to do something to increase listenership and income. Popularity is the big word. So we're going to be doing that too. That's it about the national, about the local. On the national, Grace went over these items. And about the interim CFO and having Netta come in and, let's say, bypass or take over responsibility for accounting in areas where it's not being done. That is about what we went over in the last finance committee meetings, which they've been attending. I mean, Netta has been attending. A representative has been there. And they're in strong communication with us. To follow up on the question you had, ultimately, Pacifica Foundation exists in reality as the national board. There's nobody above the national board except for government agencies.
Right.
So they are the final oversight. So Netta will be reporting to the national board. And the CFO, by the way, is not subordinate to the ED. The CFO is subordinate to the national board per the bylaws. So Netta will be working with the CFO, and everything will be reported to the national board. And the only other thing I'd want to make on that is these are financial times are, you know, it's a bit of a stress, but, you know, if you follow the news, there's companies going in and out of bankruptcy and having hard times, big ones, little ones, everything. We can get out of this. It's really an easy path to get out of it. It just requires increasing our listenership and, you know, tuning up how we get what our money flows are, how we get income. That's the key thing. Through our relationship with the public. Not through, as far as I'm concerned, this is my personal viewpoint, not through cake sales, not through outrageous premiums of, like, you know, magic pills or trips to the moon, but actual content that the audience finds compelling and eager to consume. That's what we have to provide, and that keeps us going. And it's not, and that's the formula. I think we can follow that very easily. We have a good number of very popular shows. We have to support those and tune up the ones that don't have much listenership. We have to get more listenership, maybe some new programming. I do know that we've got Nielsen's, and the indication is that we've increased listenership here by including the Tom Hartman show in drive time. So that's good news. That increases our listenership. And that increases our membership, and that will increase our income. And that's the path we have to go on. That's it. I'm not giving you much detail, but
okay.
I'm done.
So I got Steve Kaiser, Fernando, Lawrence. Anyone else like to be on the stack besides me?
Jamie, can I go to the bottom of that? Behind Lawrence and Fernando, please.
Okay, go ahead, Fernando.
Radio stations, whether commercial or non-commercials, do acknowledge the fact that there's certain hours where people are just captive, hooked up to a radio receiver, usually drive time hours, going to work and coming back home from work. In those hours, commercials are quite expensive. When the program is surrounded by some spectacular event, such as like Rose Bowl, some championship or something big, audience is going to peak, and therefore commercials are more expensive. In those hours in which there are nobody listening, or a few people listening, like 12 noon, 1 in the afternoon, or 3, 4 in the morning, commercials are cheap. The equivalent of that reasoning and criteria applies to public and radio, non-commercial radio. Where in the bylaws it says that every program should have the same amount of listeners per hour, and where in the bylaws says that each programmer needs to contribute X percentage of money to the budget? My first question.
Oh, sure, that's easy to answer. I'm not an expert in the bylaws, but for my perusal, it doesn't say that anywhere. Anytime I have done an evaluation of listenership against when we had Arbitrons or income, I've always adjusted it based on the overall background of available listeners. Okay? That's an available information anybody can get by going to Nielsen's, and you'll see a graph showing, yes, the big surge is in the morning, then there's a little surge at noon, and then it goes down, and there's a surge 4 to 6, and then it hits the bottom, okay? We have had outstanding performance from a show that's on from midnight to 6 a.m. Has increased, you know, high listenership, high revenue in the middle of the night when you got truck drivers and security guards. And that's Roy of Hollywood. So he's done well. We've had some other shows, other music shows and stuff that do very well or do better than others at night. Everything's comparative and has to be evaluated. That's right. It's an easy trick for somebody in drive time to get more listenership and more income than at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Absolutely. But you can adjust for that. You just multiply. Just say it. So that's what I do. That's what Aniel would do. Everybody knows that. It's given. And there's nothing in the bylaws that says anything about how much revenue a show has to bring in or how much listenership it has to have. It doesn't say that. But it does authorize the board to pass policy for governance of the stations. And the board has passed policy requiring that the management and the programmers themselves make efforts to increase listenership. So that's policy, and it's been approved by the board, and the board making policy is approved by the bylaws.
Well, given the fact that we are talking about Pacifica Foundation, we're talking about the Pacifica Foundation, an organization with a very noble cause, to fight against militarism, to explore and find out why people fight and promote peace, which is a great noble cause, in my opinion. When you're talking about that spirit of the enterprise, you would think that the people who subsidize the economy, the most underpaid, the most overexploited people, will give a little bit of a slack when it comes down to returns, financial returns regarding programming. That doesn't appear to be on the horizon in a discussion about programming, designing programming that is relevant to the communities in the Southern California Art Signal area. But then is the question. No, but then is the question of Tom Harmon, which has an incredible syndicated show with lots of people listening. And when he goes on the air, when he gets lucky, he gets $50 pledge. They had to put Christine Blossom and some special pills and a special CD from Liz Agard next to him in order for Tom Harmon to make money. Otherwise, he himself doesn't make any money, regardless of his fame and great, great personality. See, we're talking about relevant programming that makes money, and that's a question that we need to debate here when it comes down to designing our future.
Right.
Okay. Don't you agree?
Okay, so hold on. I don't know that there is a question there.
There is a question.
Yeah. So what is the question?
Shouldn't this be a matter for a serious discussion in how we design programming relevant to the Pacifica mission and the spirit behind it, so we don't squeeze blood from people who are overexploited and underpaid?
Okay, thank you. I can answer that.
Yes, please.
It would be a very interesting conversation, but you only want people to participate who are interested in doing that. It's not on the agenda today. So I think you can make a motion to try to get that on the agenda, that we talk about the policies of the bylaws. That's fine. However, and this is in regards to something you said earlier, you can send emails to the CFO, you can send emails to the ED and to the GM. Anybody can send emails to most positions in the organization. So if you're talking about where you're feeling like, why isn't the ED controlling the general managers to create the business manager to do their reporting, you know, maybe we have. You could do it too. You can send them an email saying, you're the ED, why don't you crack down on the GMs and get them to crack down on the business managers to do their job? Anybody can do that, because you can all send an email. It's not necessary. You know, we've already done that.
Why are you not addressing his question?
So your thing about the policies of the station in terms of, you know, how do we control the mix of the Pacifica mission and income, it's a very interesting topic. But it's really, I think, would fall underneath the category of strategic planning. And we have a committee for that.
I agree.
It's a strategic planning. Strategic planning.
The great late Dino Camati proposed to this body in several occasions the creation of either paid or volunteer body of publicists, of promotional, of publicity experts to contribute even tax deductible their services to make sure that every good show that we produce gets a proper visibility and expansion in the medium in the area. Why we not?
Hear that. Who suggested it?
Didon Kamati.
Who?
Didon Kamati.
Program.
Okay, great.
That's a great suggestion.
So what's the question?
Can we, as a local station board, come up with a motion to suggest management to create such a body so we can have more visibility and more presence and get more listeners and get more money?
I'm not the LSB. Okay. I'm just
thank
a member.
You, Mr. LSB. Lawrence, you're next.
Thank you. So, a couple of questions. It's a sad state of affairs. Chair, should I address you? Because if I'm going to be interrupted, then I'd rather address you so Mr. Aaron could answer the question.
Okay.
So it's a sad state of affairs that this board majority has not activated the committees. It's a sad state of affairs, although noble gesture, that the treasurer and his committee has made a recommendation about programming. If we had a program committee or program council in close consultation with the GM and the PD, then we wouldn't have had to have this committee putting in more energy into finding programming that is refreshing, which is a great gesture, but yet not getting the information that the audit committee needs in order to conduct the audit. Now, I don't know where the committee is at in regards to trying to get that information. But it's a sad state of affairs both on the local level and on the national level that these boards, these members, these directors and these members have not activated the committees. I know I signed up for a couple of committees and they have not been activated. So I feel really sad that we're in this predicament and yet we have all this manpower and we come here and we just sing kumbaya, or we disagree with each other, and then at the end, you know, we say goodbyes and everything, but yet we don't get the work done. Right. And there's a lot of division of labor here, as the director Aaron was saying, that she needs help in terms of us getting in touch with the station to provide that financial information in order for us to get the audit and not be at risk of losing our nonprofit status, in addition to not being able to access those funds from the CPB. So again, it's a really sad state of affairs that your board majority and the PNB majority has acted in a way of secrecy and non-transparency. So if there's a question there,
I don't think there's a question.
Well, there was a question from Mr. Aaron.
But I believe you made a statement.
No, I had a question. There was a question.
So what is the question?
The question was, and what kind of effort has the Treasurer's Committee had put into, instead of putting into programming, into assessing and getting those financial records in order for the audit committee to conduct its work?
We have made no efforts in that area.
Okay, thank you.
Steve, is any reason why, sir?
Steve Kaiser.
Is there any reason why? Can he answer
that
question?
Yeah, I can answer that question.
Because he doesn't care.
Because this is the first notice I have of it that we have delinquent information for the pension.
Kidding.
I doubt that.
No, it's absolutely true.
Okay, let's not have crosstalk.
But I think it should come up. It's not I think it should be in the province of the finance committee, and I guess we should address it. But it's pension, so there's a pension committee, but that's just a national one. So it's a negligent. I've been negligent in not following it up.
Good point, to you, Fernando.
Mr. Kaiser.
If somebody contributes their time, that's not a tax deduction.
Mr. Kaiser.
In any way.
Questions for the treasurer.
I thought you'd like to know that. But Ken, you mentioned that Roy of Hollywood is a high revenue source. He brings in nothing during the pitch times. There's no people manning the phone room, so I don't know where the revenue Roy of Hollywood is coming from in your mind.
Well, okay, in my mind, and when I've reviewed income, data about past fund drives consistently, I don't know how he's getting them, how it's happening, but it's being reported by membership management, the income. And the statistics are, especially when adjusted for time period, middle of the night, he's a high producer.
Okay.
And we have returns here.
It's at $2,000 a night. I mean, Mansoor's in there overnight. They're taking calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. As we discussed on Wednesday, I think that this is reflecting the shortfalls in the last couple of fund drives. It's reflecting the saturation for our current premiums. I hear recordings of Christine Blasio that I heard 3 years ago coming up consistently, and this kills our listenership. They won't turn it on at all. And what I would like to propose and make a motion for is to create a premiums committee of the LSB that would focus on developing and assuring quality premiums are offered to our audience. And like Grace has pointed out to me, it's more the health things than the political things that really draw in the audience. But I think the real overarching key that brings people in and wants to buy these premiums is delivering to them the truth that they're getting so little of in the mainstream media. And we are still that beacon of truth, and we can shine on all fronts in that respect. And I would like to make a motion to institute and create a premiums committee focused on that.
Is there any objection to Steve Kaiser heading up a premiums committee?
Well, no, I didn't say that, but I will be on it. And I'm willing to head it. I'm willing to head it, but it's not something for me. It's something for Pacifica. I'm willing to be a part of it and do whatever I need to do that.
As noted by Mr. Lawrence, we have several committees that are inactive, and that is due to lack of participation of members on the local station board. So you're proposing we create another committee here. If you want to create it, God bless you, go forward and do it. And get all the involvement from local station board members that you can.
Well, what other committees are not functioning? I know the programming oversight's not doing anything.
The only committees that are actively functioning, so far as I know,
are the Governance Committee, the Finance Committee, and the Outreach Committee.
Personnel.
Also.
I haven't heard of a meeting from the Personnel Committee for a while. I mean, since we... Yeah, they don't post them. If they're happening, those postings should be made. And if the postings aren't made, the public doesn't know that they're active. And I think that it's required that they make the postings. So the only committees that I know that are active are the Finance Committee, the Governance Committee, and the Outreach Committee. And the Outreach Committee, if you can make sure that you notify our secretary for the postings, I don't believe that that's happened lately. Thank you. Okay. Steve Kaiser, are you done?
Yeah. I'm
okay. Public comments is going to be next, but there's still someone on the stack.
Okay.
That was me.
Oh,
did you want to be on the stack also?
Nope.
Okay. So I heard that we're up to date on paying all of our bills except for a $150,000 debt to the National Office for General Services from about 3 years ago or so.
Yeah.
I would like to... Hold on. I would like to commend our local station board members that have been actively participating on the local station board for the past 3 years for making this happen, because prior to 3 years ago, KPFK was in very piss-poor financial condition. And I think that we have turned things around since then, so we all need to pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves. Thank you very much. Public comments. Looks like Bella's ready to go.
I would like to comment on this matter of the audits and the outside accounting firm. When it comes to doing all the work that has to be done in the station so you can be audited, there are a lot of man hours required to keep the purchase orders and the bills and the payments all lined up with each other so that the auditors can see that things tie together and can actually audit it. Furthermore, if you set up your own system and you do it with your staff within the station, you also have to go through the work of setting up the system, seeing to it the system is running, and making sure that the system has checks and balances in it to keep anybody from embezzling money and taking it off on a vacation when it's your money. That takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of expertise. And the alternative is to hire the outside accounting firm to do that for you. Since they are bonded, you know the system they set up has the guarantees built into it to see to it there isn't going to be any embezzlement. They only put their people in the station at the time they're needed instead of having people there all the time just because they're on salary. It may be a more efficient way to go to do it all by outside hired experts instead of having your own staff do it. And the National Board has evidently, without really saying so, made the decision that that's the way Pacific is going to go, that we're going to hire this one firm which will handle the bookkeeping and accounting and record keeping for all the stations. And that will overcome our tendency to do it inadequately if we do it locally, because we don't want to spend the money hiring those man hours, and so we get way behind and we can't be audited. That's a decision which I'm not going to argue with. I think probably it's a good decision. I look forward to seeing things more organized and people knowing what they're doing and being able to face the audit right away. But it does mean that National has authorized the expenditure of those outside experts going to come and do the work. And National doesn't have a lot of sources of income. We may expect that National will soon be coming back to us and saying, oh, we're going to have a much more, much larger contribution from the stations to the National to support its budget. Because actually what it's doing is spending the money that we should be spending locally on getting the work done,
right.
Now National is taking the responsibility for it. They're going to come to us and say, we want more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should face that's the way we are going, and that we are going to have to pay National a lot more, but we can look to increased efficiency and getting the audits done on time.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, Alan, he covered a great deal of area. However, I go along with what he said, but as a longtime bookkeeper, I recently responded to Grace, Alan, the Finance Committee, and I was very specific in detailing why is it that for so many years Pacifica has been suffering this illness of not being able to provide, not even a balance sheet, and non-reliable P&Ls. And there's a reason for it, is that when you have a program external from the general ledger program, which in this case has been the Great Plains, and you have an external program called MEMSIS, which is not an accounting savvy program, it's only a database, no interface. And then you have the people operating that database unknowledgeable of bookkeeping. It is no wonder that the information here can never get into the general ledger. When I was called in to help with the 2014 audit, I was stunned, and I've shared this many times, and I want people to understand. I was stunned. I spent a great deal of time just organizing the filing system because the filing system was in chaos. When you have a filing system that is in chaos, you cannot find the vendor invoices. You cannot find the payment because a check, when paid, when the bill is paid, needs to be attached to that invoice, showing that it has been paid. Then it needs to show information that it was entered into Great Plains. None of the above were in one place, were done, everything, a lot of stuff missing. It was like pulling hair. And then tons of bank accounts, which finally eventually got consolidated, I believe, to three now. When Grace says that we are not going to be needing a business manager in each station, that is wrong. And the reason why you say that, Grace, is because you're not a bookkeeper. You need to have somebody to oversee the day-to-day bookkeeping. Scanning documents is not enough. You can scan all the documents you want daily, but you have to organize them. Which GL expense account this is going to go into? Which receipt account that is going to go into? Is this a payable or receivable? You need that knowledge, and that knowledge only comes from the person which is the business manager or a full-charge bookkeeper, as I am. So eliminating the business manager is going to create another monster, because this organization somewhere far away is going to be getting fed screens, scans every other second, and they need to be coordinated. They need to be allocated and expensed properly and entered into the general ledger accordingly. Okay, I don't want to spend any more time there. The reason why we are not getting the information from each station is that each station has never been able to conduct proper bookkeeping. When you cannot conduct proper bookkeeping, then you create a mess. And this mess has been coming in for many, many years, not just 10 years, which is why we never see a balance sheet. And this is why the 2016 audit is unreliable. And I've said this before. Now, I am running for this board, and there's a reason for it, is that the current station programming direction is not the making of great radio, for some exception. We must return KPFK to its shining relevancy of being able to raise $1 million in about 2 weeks. There's reasons behind that, and you've heard it before. And that was over 10 years ago, with fundraising capacity. Okay, we must cut off all rapacious on-air fund drive programming, driving away many potential subscribers, because our noble station has been turned into a home shopping network. People calling have no clue what the mission is, and Fernando is asking, why is it that we're not producing programming relevant to our mission? Also, strip programming must be halted so that many other voices can be heard with a global analysis. return to the call-in on-air segments when the subscribers or listeners could call in and say, hey, I like that, or I don't. I have another viewpoint. And then thereby connecting with each other, creating community. So listeners can connect with their community radio. I am very curious, why is it that at this stage, Mr. Aaron says, oh, it just did not occur to me. How many times have I heard him say, we've fallen on the job? Why is it that the bilingual, I spoke to Renee about doing bilingual translation of our statements, on-air announcements, and for the cards when we record them, and on the radio. She said, gee whiz, no one told me that. I am bilingual. I can even help translating. I said, I do not advise you to do that because you've already got too much of an agenda. You're handling two stations. You've got too much to go. But we have an option when we do our statements on that website, which is click on it, and we can then, but I did my own physically. So I've been asking her, how can I put my translated Spanish statement up there and the answers to my questions up there? She has not yet responded. We need to have that posted because for the last two elections, we've had issues ignoring the bilingual and Spanish-speaking community that listens to us. That is a great community within our signal station. Also, when we come and do our cards, I've already translated my on-air announcement, and that must be done. Everybody has to be given that option as well. We have a fervent community which speaks Spanish. How can we continue to disgrace this community and ignore it as if, you know, we're in a vacuum here? No, we all have to be together, and we have to honor and respect each other. Okay? In closing, when you said that we have, I remember the former GM saying that the central that our pension had been resolved, that the monies were put, as you noted, Mr. Jamie, that 100,000. I recall that, and she was being credited and touted as having spend the time taking care of the pension issue, because that's when Leslie Redford was being taken off the floor, and she was coming in. Oh, she has done that. She has taken care. It seems to me like these issues are in recurring mode, and they come up again, and we simply use Band-Aid without really getting to the root, to the source. Our financial situation is in chaos because we have never solved it. And we keep going around the like a little mouse, you know? And we are not serious. I wanted to give this body a bookkeeping workshop 3-4 years ago. So few people signed up. It never happened. Most people don't know what bookkeeping is. When you come to this board and you have no bookkeeping knowledge, how are you going to ask for the right information? How can you be of assistance for the financial needs of the organization? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Bella. Is there any other public comments that would like to be made at this time? Okay.
I forgot to mention, I am with End Homelessness Now Los Angeles. This is a growing coalition of organizations and individuals. We are now approaching all the neighborhood councils. We're getting a lot of signatures. We need the support of Pacifica. I would like to get an endorsement. It's our endorsement forms from the board. Reason being is that a number of organizations are endorsing this effort. We're working with UTLA, with LAUSD, Metro, the Board of Supervisors, City Council, the mayor, pressuring them to utilize vacant properties to house the homeless. Immediately, there are vacant ships, there are vacant hospitals, vacant police departments that have not been used. There's all kinds of available mobile homes. The homeless situation is a crisis. We're only dealing with California now, Los Angeles. Imagine if this is a success, it will go across the state. Even Governor Newsom just got elected. He is looking at this issue. And how to be able to construct construction gear for people to have mobility with the metro lines near buses and metro. So if you are interested in getting a brochure about ending homelessness now, it's very critical. I think all of us need to be part of this effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Mr. Macon, you're recognized.
Yeah, I would like to chair the Programming Outreach Committee.
Okay. Anyone
else? Programming Oversight.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Programming Oversight Committee. Anyone interested in participating in the Programming Oversight Committee, please see Rob Macon.
Okay, Rob.
Mr. Lawrence.
Thank you, sir. So I like us to take that flyer on end homelessness that Bill I was talking about and take a look at it to see if there's something we can do to support that effort.
I would like Ms. DeSoto to give me a copy of that, and I will review it by next meeting. I am now ready to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Any objections? Okay. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everyone. Feliz Navidad. Y próspero año nuevo. A toda nuestra gente bilingüe. Gracias.